Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Not Just New Movies podcast, the show where we review a seemingly random film currently not in theaters. My name is Ben Pearson, and today we're going to be talking about two Jackie Chan martial arts films, both directed by Stanley Tong, Super Cop and Rumble in the Bronx. Joining me today is my usual trusty co-host, Tyler Brands. Tyler, what's happening?
Merry Hanukkah.
Yes, indeed. Pat, our regular co-host, is not with us today, but in his stead is a guest that we've had on previously, Joe Leninger from The Playing Field. Joe, what's happening?
Scooch on over, Ben.
I like the new catchphrase. It works for me.
We're actually sitting next to each other, so it makes
sense. Yes, if the regular listeners might notice that the sound quality is not as great as it normally is, and that's because we are actually recording from Florida currently. We're all in the same room.
Universal Studios.
Yes.
We're at the Hogwarts Castle.
Emma Watson right there. Excuse the sound quality. We'll be back to normal sometime soon. All right, well, so if you guys are just joining us for the first time, I apologize in advance, but we start every episode with a character name game, transition into our media consume section where we talk about what we've been watching, move into our review of the week, in this case it'll be reviews of the week, and finish with our listener voicemails and emails. You guys can always leave us a voicemail at 904-469-6566 or email us at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com. And you can find this and every other episode of this podcast at notjustnewmovies.com. So, I believe it is my turn for the character name game this week. And the character that I've chosen goes by the name of Kevin Raleigh. So, you guys can be thinking about that at the very end of the episode. We'll come back to it.
Baby geniuses.
Don't guess now. It'll come back later. So, we'll go ahead and move on, and...
I want to do a presenting of gifts, but...
A presenting of gifts?
I was going to do a skit, but I forgot to talk about the skit before we started recording.
Oh, we can do it right now.
Can I give you gifts now?
We are recording on Christmas Eve, so okay. This is where
virtual
Tyler gets
gifts.
This.
I'm going to give you gifts. Joe's, I already gave Joe's Four Loko, so that's over and done with, and I got you a Blu-ray version of Baby's Day Out.
Wow. So, phenomenal.
Merry Christmas.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'll have
to. There was a whole skit behind it, but.
We just skipped the skit.
Yeah, skipped the whole buildup.
Okay. All right, well, let's move into the media consume section. We normally start with Pat, but Joe, let's start with you. What have you been watching recently? This is the part where we talk about, you know, what we've been watching on TV, movies, whatever. So, what have you been consuming lately?
I've been getting down on a few things. The first thing would be a new show on Fox called Million Dollar Money Drop, hosted by Kevin Pollak. It's your standard Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Deal or No Deal kind of drawn-out money drama show where you win money.
Like Double Dare?
Kind of, yeah. There's no slime or pies involved. Yeah, Minute to Win It with Guy Fieri. I don't recommend it at all. It's just a quote-unquote cock tease. You think you're going to get the answer, and then it's like, bam, commercial.
What kind of questions are they? Do they ask?
Oh, you know, they're actually...
Multi-layered or something?
No, they're kind of straightforward. It's either we took a survey, what's the highest number of this, or...
Yeah. Is it like trivia-based?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't like questions based on surveys. You never...
Like, the other night, one of the questions was whose movies have grossed more money over their career, Ben Affleck or Matt Damon? And you have this money, and you bet it on which answer. Kind of like craps. You have to actually physically put the money, literally, on the little pegs, and then they drop through a chute, and then the money, I think, is incinerated, but we're not sure what happens to it.
How is literally Kevin Pollak as the host?
Sidney Pollak?
Sidney Pollak passed away.
Better than Guy Fieri, but not nearly as good as Regis, I have to say.
Okay.
This is out of bounds.
I also checked out the new show on NBC called Perfect Couples, which... I think it's gonna be one of those kind of dry office type humors.
Do you think it'll... Because you saw, like, a sneak preview of the show,
yeah,
right?
It was a full episode. It was just kind of like, oh, we're gonna show it real quick and see what people think.
Yeah.
The show's basically about three couples. I believe the count is two of them are married, one of them's engaged, or some form of another.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. There's some Vespa humor. But overall, it looks like they're going to focus on this one main couple. And they're really, really boring so far. And they're not even that good looking.
Who's in it?
Three guys I've never heard of. The chick from It's Always Sunny, the waitress, and Olivia Munn, who Ben used to intern for or something.
I think you dated her for a while.
No, I didn't.
For like 5 minutes.
That's incorrect.
No, maybe that was just a picture with her.
Yeah, that's true.
I consider that a date.
Yeah, you would. All right, so
right in the face.
Anything else you've been watching, Joe?
I checked out the 2003 motion picture The Room, directed by Tommy Wiseau.
Okay. I think it's Wiseau, but yeah.
Good. Yes, well, the accent is French. It's Wiseau.
Okay.
He produced, edited it, and starred.
Yes.
And possibly dolly gripped and whatever.
Right.
It's pretty awful.
This is, yeah, it's widely considered, you know, one of the worst movies ever made. Kind of up there with Troll 2, I think.
Technically, from a, like a, you know, filmography standpoint, it's pretty bad. But the experience, you have to watch it with people.
Yeah, definitely. I've heard that. It's very kind of a communal thing.
Yeah, I mean, there are characters that drop off, like storylines that just never get developed. it's dubbed terribly. He clearly doesn't know any English, and he tried to dub his own lines.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
The ending was pretty solid for a movie.
Okay.
Literally a cinematographical feat of excellence.
All right, I love the misuse of the word literally. Tyler, let's move on to you. What have you been watching or consuming recently?
Yeah, I've been checking out this Pendant Audio podcast, which is like a serialized radio show, or what you would call a radio show in like the 30s, but it's available online. It's called Blue Harvest, which I guess it's an ongoing Star Wars serial. I checked it out, and I realized this company made like multiple podcasts. One Superman, one Star Trek, one Batman.
This is all original content.
They've written the stories, but they're using, you know,
pre-established
copywritten material. But they do have some original stories, I guess, too. So pendantaudio.com, you can download and listen straight from the website. Like, it'll open it up in your music player, whichever one you use.
Mm-hmm.
It's apparently unblocked at my work, so I just procrastinate while listening to it.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a chance to check out the Van Damme movie I was going to watch this week. So if you're looking for Van Damme for Van Damme December, check out Street Fighter. Ben's seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's available
on Comcast on demand right now for free.
It's also on Netflix
okay.
for free if you have that too. I don't know if people in California have Comcast.
No, I don't think
it may
they
be
do,
a general on-demand thing, though.
It's possible.
To all companies.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're back on the we're recording this from Florida right now. So if you're in Florida and you listen to this podcast, and check out your local box or whatnot.
Yeah, why don't you do that? And you know, Van Damme plays Colonel.
What is it, Guile? Right.
Yeah, Colonel Guile, and he's got like a U.S. flag on his shoulder, and there's a bunch of other characters. It's pretty good.
You are a massive fan of the Street Fighter movie.
I love the Street Fighter franchise, except for the Rise of Chun-Li, which I did not see. I don't think that's what it's called.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the movies don't include the Brazilian guy and the stretchy Indian guy?
In the live-action one?
Yeah.
No, it does. The
really?
Indian guy is the doctor that works on Blanca.
Blanca, that's his name,
And the Brazilian guy is the guy that drives the van for Chun-Li. Or no, he's not Brazilian, he's Hawaiian.
No. He's Brazilian.
Honda?
No, the Brazilian guy, Blanca.
Yeah, he's in it too, because Charlie is the guy that. He's like Colonel Giles of Van Damme's partner that gets turned into a monster.
Yeah, there's some sort of mutation thing going on or something.
And the doctor behind it is the Brazilian guy. The Indian guy with the super stretchy arms.
Oh, man.
Right, but I don't think they actually have him stretch his arms in the
he's
movie.
Not like, they just give him the name. They don't actually bring out his character as if in a video game.
So he literally lost his powers.
Yes, that's one way to say it, yes.
Word of the week is
Blanca. If you haven't noticed yet.
Anything else you've been watching lately, Tyler?
There are a couple other things. Good Guys was canceled, but I'm going to stop my media consumed in my respect for the Good Guys being canceled.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. We're recording this a little late. Normally, I think
right
we're
on
like...
time.
Yeah, I guess we're like 5 days late or something. So it's actually been a couple weeks since we recorded. And the only thing that I can even remotely consider normal that I've watched is this movie called Scrooged. It's a Christmas movie starring Bill Murray from, I don't remember the year, and I'm not going to look it up right now. Norm MacDonald is not in it, although I wish he was in it. Adam Carolla is not in it either.
I think that was called Get Scrooged.
Okay, I've never heard of that in my life.
Scrooge.
All right, now we're just rambling. Scrooged is essentially the classic Charles Dickens story, the Christmas tale about Ebenezer Scrooge, but it's kind of revitalized for the 21st century, or 20th, I guess. And it's got Bill Murray as this kind of executive guy who runs a network, and it's like, it's kind of terrible. Have you guys ever seen this movie?
I like it.
I
need to watch it again, though, to get actual quotes and stuff. I remember liking it.
Joe, do you like it?
I only saw the Norm MacDonald one.
Okay. Bill Murray's pretty funny. I mean,
Bill Murray is
like
kind
Groundhog's
of funny.
Day. Do you like Groundhog's
Day? Sure, yeah. No, I'm a big fan of Bill Murray.
Was Ivan Reitman behind Scrooged?
No, Richard Donner actually directed Scrooged. So I was kind of expecting good things, and the movie didn't connect with me for some reason. It's not as funny as I thought it should have been. There are super annoying characters, like all the ghosts and, you know, spirits of Christmas are all really, really annoying.
Did you watch it correctly? Like
I watched it in a theater, actually.
Well, Ben, I don't think ghosts are normally friendly or accompanying.
Well, the ones in the story, though, are, in the Christmas Carol, they're not supposed to be annoying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole point is kind of teaching him something.
Is it like a dark comedy, though?
Kind of, yeah.
Maybe
and
if you watch it from the
Well,
host,
ghosts that, are that, inherently scary. I don't know what your expectations were.
I don't know. I was just expecting them not to be annoying.
Regardless, if I saw Casper, I'd be like, oh, man, that's not good. And he's like, hello!
All right. Can you people tell that we're drinking while recording this podcast?
Joe has a novelty-sized bottle of...
Miller High Life.
High Life.
Awesome. Okay. All right, well, yeah, so that's basically the only thing that
so
I watched.
Didn't like
I did not really care for Scrooge. I know a lot of people...
Does that change your Bill Murray filmography status?
Not necessarily. I mean, I can cross that off the list as far as that goes, but I didn't really lose respect for Bill Murray. I actually heard this really great story about Bill Murray. I don't know if you guys know this. Apparently, in public, if he is out or whatever and he sees... he just picks random people to do this to. He'll go up and put his hands over your eyes from behind and say, guess who? And when you turn around, he says, no one will ever believe you, and then just walks away.
Like, he shows up randomly to parties.
Yeah, I remember reading that a couple years ago, and yeah, exactly, in New York. He would just, like, right as the night was kind of winding down, he would just bust into random house parties and kind of get the party back going again. And then he would hang out and just clean off people's dishes and stuff and, like, just be there washing the dishes. No. Just, like, help clean up and everything.
The food
and
off
then,
their dishes.
No,
like,
and then just leave.
I'm really starting to enjoy these little stories about, like, if you see this guy in Hollywood, like, Clooney will refund you for Batman and Robin.
Yeah, man, you saw
I think we should really start up some erroneous ones about certain celebrities.
That would be pretty funny. Yeah, the only other one, you mentioned the Clooney thing. If people don't know, apparently if you see George Clooney on the street or something and you walk up to him and tell him that you saw Batman and Robin in theaters, he'll actually pull out cash and, refund you your money for seeing it, which I thought was funny. And then the other one that I can think of is Michael Clark Duncan, the really tall, super huge black guy from The Green Mile and The Island and all that stuff. Yeah, exactly. If you go up to him and say, hey, you're Michael Clark Duncan, apparently he'll give you money for knowing what his name is. Because a lot of people will recognize him, but not a lot of people know exactly what his name is, apparently. And this story is at least 2 years old, so it might have changed in that point.
Except Mr. Duncan?
I don't think so. I think you have to know all three. I think that's part of the thing, but...
Yeah, it's like if you see Matthew Broderick in public, you know, he'll be like, oh, I gotta automatically renew your vehicle registration for you. It's like, wow, that's convenient, Matthew Broderick, thank you.
All right.
I saw Tim Thomerson once, and he tried to steal my McDonald's fries.
That's because he was poor.
He was pretty hungry.
Tim Thomerson, little callback to the Trancers podcast, so check that
Hell
one out.
Yeah.
All right, so
and
let's...
Doll Man.
And
don't undersell it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to our reviews of the week. We're going to talk about Supercop first, and then we'll move on to Rumble in the Bronx. So here is our discussion about Supercop.
In the crime capital of the world, where an army of criminals has taken over. There's never a cop around when you need one. But when this cop's around... one is all you need. But now, outnumbered and outgunned, even the toughest of cops could use a little help.
So Super Cop is a 1992 movie directed by Stanley Tong, and I didn't know this until after I watched it. It's actually called Police Story 3. This is the third movie in a Police Story franchise, the first two of which Jackie Chan actually directed as well as starred in. This is the first one where this is the first one where he didn't direct, and honestly, it kind of feels like the third movie in a trilogy.
I have no idea how he became a super cop.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there in the very beginning...
he references himself being a super cop in Hong Kong.
Yeah, the very beginning of the movie, you don't really get any idea of who he is or what he's doing or anything. It just kind of shows him, and it drops him in within the first 5 minutes.
Like, I dug that.
There's these kind of... It kind of, I don't know.
It's one of those movies.
Yeah. This movie, I mean, if you guys are looking for, like... real plot and, you know, kind of coherent storytelling, I'm not quite sure if this is where you should go, but...
dialogue, no.
Right.
Story, it's got some.
Yeah, I mean, it has more of a story than Rumble in the Bronx, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
True.
Joe, did you get a chance to see Super Cop?
I got my movies mixed up, and I ended up seeing Yogi Bear instead.
Yeah, I actually watched Super RoboCop. Which...
is that a real movie?
No.
Okay.
It is in my head.
All right. Okay,
have you ever
so...
seen RoboCop do karate?
No.
Exactly. That should be a movie.
Okay. Maybe Darren Aronofsky will tackle that when he does the reboot, if that still goes through.
It's a companion piece to Black Swan. That's when Natalie Portman's character is horrifically damaged by Red from that 70s show and rebuilt as a robot.
All right. Well, getting
and battles and then battles the Dragon Zord from Power Rangers.
Getting back to Super Cop, this movie actually co-stars Michelle Yeoh, and I thought she was pretty awesome.
She was in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, wasn't she?
Right.
Was she the older lady? She wasn't. Michelle Zhang was, or
that was
Zhang.
Zhang Ziyi was the younger, and Michelle Yeoh was the kind of counterpart.
Her in that too, yeah.
Yeah, she was the counterpart to Chow Yun-fat in that one. Michelle Yeoh was also in Tomorrow Never Dies, which may know is the James Bond film with Pierce Brosnan.
Almost, I would put that under, well, it's the second worst James Bond movie ever, next
right
to Die Another Day, which is, I don't even consider one.
Yeah, that was terrible.
I'm a
okay.
huge James Bond fan.
You know, we should probably say, if you people don't necessarily aren't really familiar with Jackie Chan and his filmography, because I actually wasn't. I haven't seen a lot of these movies, the older Jackie Chan movies and stuff. He does his own stunts, you know, the whole deal, which is really awesome.
Right.
And Michelle Yeoh kind of does the same thing.
Right.
So, like, seeing movies like this, it reminds me of, like, those Tony Jaa movies that we used to watch a couple years ago, and it's because those movies are very clearly influenced by movies like Super Cop and Rumble in the Bronx and all
that
stuff.
It really brings you to terms with what kind of movies come out in America where there's, like, wires and...
Yeah.
You know, like, stunt doubles and just ridiculous computer-generated scenarios where these people do things, and you're like, oh, that was really cool, oh, that wasn't real. But in these, like in Super Cop and Rumble in the Bronx, at the end, and I think this is cool, at the end they show clips of where they messed up with the stunts and, like, him hanging from the helicopter by the ladder was something he actually did. And yeah, I just think that's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. I think maybe Jason Statham is, like, the only American...
British.
Kind of, or, I mean, the only American movie star, like, or star in American movies, I guess. There we go. Yeah, there we go. That kind of even approaches, really, what Jackie Chan used to do.
Yeah, he really dodged that missile in Transporter, right?
That actually was never in the movie.
What?
I was really disappointed about it at the time. Go watch the trailer for Transporter, and you'll see that he deflects a missile.
What's Supercop? What'd you think of Supercop? Anyway, overall.
It was just really kind of convoluted, and I watched Rumble in the Bronx first, so I'll talk about that a little later. In comparison, I liked the simple storytelling of Rumble in the Bronx, where it just kind of highlighted the action all the way through. Mm. This one did concentrate on the story, which is fine. Like, like you said, it's a good story. It makes sense. It's just not the most original thing ever, and it's also maybe a little overcomplicated at times. Like, they try to squeeze too much into it, I think. There's the part where he meets up with his girlfriend at the Malaysian resort or whatever, and it's like, he just told her when he left in the very beginning of the movie, like, okay, I'll be back in 6 months or whatever. Right. I don't remember the exact time frame. Yeah. Or a month, yeah. And she's like, okay, bye. And, like, she didn't make any mention of going to a Malaysian resort. Like, she just happened to be kind of... It just felt really... of course she happens to be there. Right. That kind of thing.
The characters were pretty weak, especially this Panther guy that kept believing that Jackie Chan was his closest ally, even though he'd only met him 3.5 days ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's the standard kind of infiltrating the society type of thing.
And then he brings his sister along, or his quote-unquote sister, because she can fight good.
Which is Michelle Yeoh's character.
Correct.
Who is also the, Interpol director or whatever.
So this guy's just opening himself up for failure because he's actually put two spies into his inner circle without any background checks.
Right, and the guy, one of the guys, I don't remember if it was Chaibot, who was one of the villains, maybe
that's real, Joe.
The White Tiger or whatever, but that might even
don't mention his name.
Another movie.
How does he know his name?
I'm not even sure if, I think one of the guys, like, called him out on it. Like, he was like, these two people appear, and you are suddenly broken out of prison. They're cops, you idiot. Like, he calls them out, and then they somehow kind of manage to, like, squeeze their way out of the situation. But, like, that one guy is the only one with any common sense on the villain side of this movie, because he, like, picked it out within 5 seconds, because you really just put two and two together, and you realize what's going on.
The overdubbed dialogue was kind of hard to deal with, because they talk very fast, I guess, in Mandarin, or, I know there's a lot of dialects in China.
Right. I'm not going to pretend to know which one it is.
Yeah, I'll just say
fine.
Mandarin. Yeah. I'm going to say Mandarin or Hong Kongese.
I don't
even think that's a language.
Szechuan Panda.
That's a restaurant.
Yeah. I know a lot of...
I'll take the number 6 with white rice and egg rolls.
All right. Okay, but the dialogue...
It's fast-paced. You watched it on Netflix, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
Fast-paced in their original language, and therefore... The English dubbers, or whatever they're called,
the voiceover
actors, they have to keep up. So it just seems kind of ridiculous. Like, nobody really talks like that in English.
Yeah.
I mean, they may in Chinese or Mandarin or whatever language, but in English you don't talk like, oh my gosh, there he is over there. Oh, we gotta go get him. It's by the pool. Go! And like a lot of hand motions and just straight shot sentences all crumbled up together.
Yeah.
It kind of makes it almost comedic. To the point where you're like, is this a comedy or...
Yeah, regular dialogue is funny when it shouldn't be.
The action scenes were awesome. The explosions and the violence and what have you. But just, you bring back down the dialogue and you're just like, you're just kind of laughing to yourself. It's not bad where you want to turn off. It's just like, you can't take it seriously.
Yeah, I think if we both probably had our way, then we would have watched it in the original language with subtitles. Right, or would you watch it with dubs if you had the choice?
Well, with subtitles though,
you're at least hearing the original actors kind of give their true performances, where you're not hearing the voiceover thing. So you can at least get like the emotion of the actors in whatever they're saying, even though we can't understand what they're saying.
They're so energetic though. Like, even in their original language, like people talking like that, it's kind of weird because they're like, oh my gosh. We're at the grocery now, Uncle. But we've seen a couple of Tony Jaa movies, which I think are in Thai, and we tried to listen to the language while reading subtitles, and
no offense, but their language is very harsh and, like,
oh, yeah,
hard
very much.
To hear, mm-hmm. especially if you're from the West and you're, yeah. like, you know, you're kind of used to, like, French, maybe German movies where it's, you know, it's got a flow to it, but some Asian languages are very abrupt and, like,
yeah,
very short, and you're like, oh, man, this is just hard on the ears, and it's kind of hard to concentrate on the subtitles and what's yeah. going on screen. So I'd probably prefer overdub, as long as it's good overdub. I wouldn't yeah. suggest overdub and subtitles, because those usually don't match up.
Yeah, I'm kind of a fan of just listening to it in the original language and reading the subtitles. I don't have a problem really doing that, just because, like I said, I kind of like to get the emotion from the original actors. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people, I think, have that same... That's why they have the dub as an option on DVDs and stuff, so...
Good point there, Ben.
Yeah, so...
Wait, you know, as people may not have seen this movie, I think...
Like you, Joe?
Yeah, the title is called Super Cop. I mean, does he have superpowers?
No, there's no superpowers
it's
involved.
It's a common misnomer.
I think, you know, with this podcast, we're kind of operating under the assumption that if people are listening to this, they've watched the film.
Spoiler
so.
Alert, he's a super cop.
I don't really necessarily want to get into, like, the details of the plot, but they probably say super cop, like, 15 times in the
movie.
Oh,
yeah. No, they definitely overuse the title.
Yeah.
I know why they call it super cop.
Yeah.
But they keep referencing his time on the force in Hong Kong, I guess.
Right, which
you know,
is
like,
why...
He's a super cop.
Which is why the movie feels incomplete if you just
exactly.
watch it by itself,
so,
which, you know...
I'm assuming Police Story Uno,
yeah.
as they call it over there in Hong Kong, would be, like, him being, like, some type of out-of-the-academy rookie, and then he achieves some...
Yeah,
astronomical
I
goals.
I don't think they have an academy over there. I think you're just born to
you're
kick
just,
ass like that.
You just get a tag that says cop.
Yeah. So he's just a regular cop, like cop.
Basically.
But he becomes a super cop over the course of the two movies that we didn't see. And so by Police Story 3, super cop.
Oh, so he probably fell into a vat of acid or...
No, there's no superpowers involved.
Unless you call knowledge of kung fu and other forms of martial arts superpowers, which... I mean, Batman.
I mean, the thing about this is, like, you know, they may, in the very beginning of the movie, because this is my introduction and your introduction to this character, because we haven't seen the other ones, we're kind
What's
of wondering, I don't recall, what
okay,
is his
name?
It's Kevin. that's what they call him in the English dubs, so.
Oh, that's so.
Yeah,
right.
I know, but, like, you know.
I thought it was Ken. Wasn't that his name?
No, that was in
that's
Rumble
Street
in the
Fighter.
Bronx.
Oh, that's right.
Kyung or something like
Like
Ken
Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Now I've completely
you were talking
lost
about,
my train
You were talking
of
about...
In the beginning of the movie, they
yeah,
show
yeah,
him
yeah, exactly.
kind of... you know, they make a lot of... Michelle Yeoh's character and a lot of the upper echelon authority figures
right,
in the
Interpol.
Police departments and stuff. Yeah, they make reference to him being a super cop, and then they bring him to the training facility, and they force him to do this kind of big
yeah.
demonstration and stuff. And up until that point, we had no idea whether or not he was able to hold his own or not.
Yeah,
like,
I had
we
no
hadn't
idea.
Seen anything, really, because we hadn't seen the first two
yeah,
films.
Yeah, I thought all of a sudden, because he seemed real meek.
Yeah.
And, like, he didn't want to do martial arts, but then all of a sudden, steroids McGillicuddy comes in and is like, I challenge you to a match.
Yeah.
And Jackie Chan just holds his own and,
yeah.
like, destroys the place.
So, basically, I'm glad that they show him as a competent, like,
yeah,
martial
artist.
Yeah, it
could have been a really bad movie.
Right,
if he
exactly.
was just, like, all of a sudden, like,
if
a Kevin James character
yeah.
just falls into situations
yeah.
and then beats off
like,
everybody.
Like,
Wait, Lord Super
like,
Cop?
Yeah.
yes. Yes,
like Super Cop being an ironic title or
right,
something.
Right.
That would
he's
have been...
not really that super. He's
right.
just kind of a moron that
yeah.
falls into the right place at the right time.
That sounds like
that
a Johnny
sounds like a pretty
Depp,
awesome movie.
A Johnny Depp remake that's coming up or something. It sounds like something that would actually happen in Hollywood.
Directed by Tim Burton.
Of course, that's a given. All right, well, yeah, I mean, I don't really have a lot to say about the rest of the movie, except for as the film progresses, the action progresses
oh, yeah.
as well, which I liked, obviously, since I'm a fan of action. Thank you, Joe.
I mean, the dialogue was bad. The action scenes were really cool. But, yeah, the story, I mean, it was...
It just ramps up, like, as it goes
yeah.
on. Like, the amount of action. Like, you can see that they saved a lot of the budget for about the halfway point of the movie.
Yeah.
And then kind of kept
At
going
one
up.
Point, though, like, Panther was the bad guy, I guess. Or whatever, the guy they were trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, Chaibot was mm-hmm. trying to get his wife back. And that became, like, the...
The main storyline.
Yeah,
yeah,
so they kind of switched... I mean, maybe that's... what they wanted to do, but then there's like this epic chase with cars and trains and helicopters. Like, Malaysia, that was really awesome.
Yeah, and it, that takes up a good portion of the movie. Probably like 15, 20 minutes or something, like from start to finish.
Yeah, and it had to have been... I would think that was all real as far as like,
well, like
using a helicopter. Yeah, and they would show the clips at the end of where they were doing that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean... To achieve stuff like that, you have to spend, like, weeks perfecting it so no one dies.
Right, and the cool part also, like you mentioned at the end with when they showed the people actually hang from the helicopters, they also showed Michelle Yeoh riding that motorcycle onto the top of a moving train. And, like, she fell off at one point, and they show, like, the boxes that she landed in on the other side or whatever.
Her coffin.
I think more like cardboard boxes.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
But, yeah, so that, I mean, that kind of stuff, like, as you're watching a movie, you don't really think about real people doing these things, but that's the cool
part.
Not
the way we're given movies nowadays. Right. You don't think that could be real, but then you see the end of these movies.
Yeah.
And he does it even in, like, the Rush Hour movies. They do the same thing where they show pretty much all the stuff Jackie Chan does. I don't think Chris Tucker does a damn thing in these movies except talk and all ask for more money.
Well, let's go ahead and move on into our discussion about Rumble in the Bronx.
To millions of fans around the world, he's a living legend. If you've never seen him before,
it's him. Give me that gun.
You've never seen action.
They're in a hovercraft. Call out the Coast Guard.
New Line Cinema presents the action hero who does all his own stunts, Jackie Chan.
Also directed by Stanley Tong. The first thing that I have written down in my notes is terrible ADR and dubbing, which is like a, whatever, dialogue replacement, the kind of overdubs thing. So this falls into the same category
now,
that
see, I,
Supercop
I
did.
I thought you'd bring that up because it starts out like Supercop where everyone's speaking Chinese or Mandarin or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then you could tell Jackie Chan was speaking English and everybody else was speaking English, but they overdubbed it anyway.
Yeah.
And... like, the American people, because he comes over to the Bronx, and so there are American actors and American people speaking English, but they're overdubbed too. And I thought, okay, why would they do that? Well, and I thought to myself, I said, well, they wouldn't do studio overdubs for Jackie Chan and the Asian actors, and then do, like, real live dubbing with the microphones. So
yeah,
they
like
tried to do a
stuff.
Yeah, like, so they did, like, a standard overdub for all the characters. So when you see, like, the lady the uncle's marrying in the store speaking clear English, although it's overdubbed.
Right, you can watch her mouth and tell that she's speaking English, yeah.
At least every character is overdubbed consistently.
Yeah.
Like, the consistent sound, I think, was what they were going for. Right. So, I mean, if you get past the part that everything's going to be overdubbed, regardless of how many American actors are speaking perfect English.
Yeah, and
or
again,
whatever, their version of perfect English.
And this is something that you can change if you get the DVD version. You can watch it with whatever track you want. But just through Netflix, which is the way that we watched it, that's how they kind of force you
what
to listen to
it. What would
it
be in regular?
Well, I mean, regular, there's probably... I would assume, I haven't seen the DVD version of this, but I assume there's multiple tracks you can listen to in different languages and different,
But you don't you think the overdubbing kind of adds to the charm of this genre of movie?
It kind of does to some degree if it's good, like Tyler was saying earlier. If it's really bad, it really can be super distracting and kind
of
take away.
What's an example of a good overdubbing?
Because
it's distracting either way, I think, but it's still, you know, you're getting that essence of just a movie from the Orient that just they're trying to translate to the Western people.
Right. Well, there's a lot of movies we've seen with Chow Yun-fat, Tony Jaa, and that I usually prefer to watch with overdub. Hard Boiled, I think I watched with English overdub. A Better Tomorrow, I think we watched with English overdub. The Protector, Ong Bak, because again, I can't stand the Thai language with subtitles.
Right.
And so we watch them, and I don't remember, you know, that negatively affecting my movie watching experience.
Sure.
And so I guess, like Ben's saying, is if you have a bad movie with bad overdub, then it becomes a distraction. But if you have a good movie, you kind of get past the the fact that this overdubbing's bad, well, it's a good movie anyway, so yeah, as well.
And this, I'm not going to sit here and say that this is, like, one of the better movies that I've seen, but the action, like, because the story in Rumble in the Bronx is so simple, it's just Jackie Chan helping out his uncle at a grocery store. The uncle leaves, and biker gang gets involved.
Taking on
That's
an
it.
Entire gang. And, so, in the 90s.
Yeah.
And don't they end up robbing Yankee Stadium at the end? Like, holding it up?
No.
That's the gist I got from the preview of this movie. I saw this in theaters a couple weeks ago.
So the gang attacks Yankee didn't. Stadium? Your version
midnight,
of the film?
Yeah, a special showing. Midnight, you got egg rolls.
That must have been a 9-minute.
It was a themed sneak preview.
I don't believe a word that you're saying right now. I liked this movie way better than Supercop. Mm-hmm. I saw this one first, like I mentioned. And because the simple storytelling, like, you know, it has... Jackie Chan is this, like, super naive guy that, like, doesn't...
Yeah.
You know, this is his first time in America, we right. presume. He understands...
This is Story 4. Super naive cop.
He understands what's going on. He, like, goes out of his way to help people, even though he doesn't...
Right.
Even though, like, Americans probably wouldn't do the same thing.
Like the crippled kid.
The crippled kid, and there's Danny, I believe his name is. There's also that scene where the biker gang are outside of his apartment, and they're riding their bikes up and down the vehicles, like, on top, on either side of the road, racing down.
Don't hit my uncle's vehicle!
Yeah, and it wasn't even his uncle's car, it was his uncle's friend's car. So he goes out of his way to help somebody, exactly, who's not even his own
his
blood relatives.
Employer's car, I believe.
Yeah. Don't mess with a man's ride, though.
Yeah.
So the biker that he stops was actually the sister of the crippled kid named Danny.
Which becomes a big plot point later on.
This movie's really awesome.
I liked it a lot.
It really was a rumble in the Bronx.
Yeah, I mean, the martial arts here is pretty amazing.
Really,
like, I mean, Jackie Chan himself, I believe, refers to it as Chinese Kung Fu, so I think we'll be okay calling it Kung Fu throughout.
Okay, Chung Fu.
Yeah, I mean, he was great, man. Like, it has that thing when he goes into his uncle's house, there's, like, this kind of dummy with all the different, like, arms and legs and stuff, like, wooden arms sticking out of it, and he just freaking goes off on that, like, as a practice thing.
Ridiculous.
And then essentially just destroys everyone throughout the movie. He just wanders around the city.
There's so much destruction.
Yeah, like, encountering...
Such a small areas of the town.
And he does the typical kind of Jackie Chan, like, stunt thing, too, where, like, he'll run up... a chain link fence and kind of bounce from wall to wall and stuff.
Daily.
Yeah,
I've never achieved the perfect springboard.
There's you know, you mentioned The Protector, which is a Tony Jaa movie. I think I kind of get the original Ong Bak and The Protector mixed up at some point, so forgive me if
Protector's
I get this wrong.
The one where he goes after the elephant. Ong Bak's when he goes over after the statue head.
Okay, The Protector then.
Okay.
So there's a scene in The Protector, which is one of my favorite scenes, where he is in, like, a warehouse and is basically fighting this kind of extreme sports biker gang. And, like,
that
they have these big, you know, go-karts and stuff. And, like, these motorcycles with helmets and everything. They're kind of riding through. And Tony Jaa is, like, bouncing through bus windows and, like, just taking these guys out in various ways. That scene was, I'm almost 100% positive, directly influenced by Rumble in the Bronx. Because a very similar thing happens to Jackie Chan when he encounters the kind of motorcycle gang and all that, the biker stuff. There's a scene in a parking garage where he does the same thing, and he goes up to the roof, and you remember he jumps off the roof into that opposing building or whatever.
That was real.
It's amazing. So that, I just noticed that as, you know, because obviously I'd seen The Protector before, and I've never seen this before, so I didn't realize that it was kind of influenced by that.
What was the movie where Tony Jaa bumped into Jackie Chan in the airport,
I think that was The Protector.
Was it?
I think it was the very beginning of The Protector, where he kind of, the quote-unquote passing of the torch, so that was pretty cool, too. So, yeah, if you guys haven't seen The Protector or the original Ong Bak, I think we both would highly recommend checking those out, especially if you liked Rumble in the Bronx and movies like
this.
Don't get
us wrong. Now, you'll see these movies, and you'll be like, oh, I gotta watch every single Tony Jaa movie ever made. Now, that is a dark and dim road to follow, son.
Yes, it is, because we've been down it.
Because you go, okay, I'm going to get every movie that has Tony Jaa as the lead character. So you get this movie about Brazilian war, or whatever, I don't know, it wasn't Brazil. You know, like, Taiwanese war epic, or war movie, and you're like, oh, Tony Jaa, they put Tony Jaa on the cover of the movie, they put Tony Jaa as the lead credit, and you watch this movie, and it has nothing, like, Tony Jaa is, like, the eighth lead character. Yeah. It's like this minor character.
Yeah.
And they just repackaged this shoddy movie.
But that's the charm of those movies, is duping Westerners.
No. Yeah, they're awful movies. So if you're going to go Tony Jaa filmography, go with, I don't know, like the 2000s kind.
Yeah, stick with the Ungbok series, check out The Protector, and then kind of beware after that. You know, kind of look up the movies before you see them
He's not even in them. He's just CGI'd.
He's like a super small character. He's like the second. Yeah, he's like the second assistant to the general in one of these war movies or something.
We stopped that one like 30 minutes in.
Yeah, because he's not even...
not even him. They just use his voice work.
Well, it's real popular, I guess, over there and here. And so what they do is they try to make money off these really bad movies by putting his name and his image on the front of the movie.
Yeah, they play it up.
And then you check it out and you're like, he hasn't come on for like 20 minutes. And you're like, when is Tony Jaa going to start fighting? And you know, there's no fight scenes or anything. It's just kind of just really bad overdubbed whatever
drama.
So beware.
Yeah, definitely.
It's kind of our
back to Rumble.
Rumble in the Bronx. I mean, there's a lot of really badass fight scenes in this movie. The grocery store that Jackie Chan works in gets completely annihilated like multiple times. Come in and just like push shelves over and stuff. And like that very first fight scene where he kind of defends what's going on. Yeah, that was really great. And then, yeah, it just seems like as the movie progresses, more and more people come through and just freaking destroy that store. Up until even, like, so much so that at the very end, they tie chains inside of it and drive
away. And they do it in, like, under 15 seconds. Like, he goes up to talk to this girl for, like, I don't know, 20 seconds, and he comes back down, and there are just, I don't know, 100 chains tied to the foundations of this store, and the cars are running outside. He's like, no, and just everything gets destroyed.
And the girl is in the bathroom at the time, and then like half of the wall gets pulled away, and it reminds me of that recurring gag in Family Guy where Cleveland is in the bathtub and then comes rolling out
clean up on aisle everywhere.
pretty much
That's a pretty good joke.
The drug, like, the villains, the thugs in this, they remind me of, like, the villains, like, the Foot Clan in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies. Like, especially their hideout. Did you notice that? Like, how there's, like...
The warehouse.
Yeah, they're you know,
kid stuff.
Yeah, there's kid stuff everywhere. There's, like, flashing lights. There's pinball machines.
Right. It's like 12-year-olds smoking cartons of cigarettes.
There were, like, 60 refrigerators.
Yeah, the set designer had a lot. I assume
they kept all their Hawaiian Punch and Slimer high C's. It goes good with cigarettes.
Yeah, and then they go to this club where, like, Nancy, who is the girl that is part of the gang, is, like, dancing in a cage with a tiger. And, like, there's, like, this rave scene that goes on that's very standard.
There's a lot going on
movies
in movie.
Like that in the 90s. A guy gets...
You got me a new wheelchair pillow!
A guy gets thrown into a wood chipper a la Fargo.
Yeah.
Like, it gets pretty intense. There's grenades and things going off with drug deals gone bad, so...
Yeah, I've never heard of drug deals going down with grenades.
And like,
oh yeah, there's a grenade in the back seat.
Like, what we assume to be the feds come after these diamonds, but it's really just another gang, and then the real police get involved and try to wire Jackie Chan, and then there's, like, all this double cross. So it just, the movie, like, you know, I was saying simple storytelling in the beginning, and then, you know, for the first hour or something, it's pretty simple, pretty, like,
standard.
Easy to comprehend, and then later it just, like, the floodgates open and just crazy
stuff.
Oh,
crap, we gotta end
on.
This movie, better let go of all the storylines again.
Yeah, and it seems like, oh, crap, we had, I don't know how much the budget was on this thing, let me see, oh, it looks like $7.5 million, but I don't know, maybe they spent,
what's that in yen?
I don't know. maybe they spent like
that's
$2 million
Japanese.
Up until that point, and they're like, oh, wow, we've got $5.5 million left, and we're only halfway through this movie. Let's get a huge hovercraft involved that just ransacks the city and, like, explosions left
that
and right.
That scene was ridiculous.
It was crazy. There's
so many
much...
people went under the hovercraft that didn't die.
Well,
although White Tiger went under and he was severely burned.
ripped his clothes off.
Yeah, he had, like, just scars everywhere. And to go back to you said White Tiger was in Supercop as well, but let's just assume he's involved in both movies and that these are...
Wait, there was a White Tiger?
No, there wasn't.
I misspoke.
But Ben said that there was a White Tiger going after Chai Bot's wife. But we'll just say, for the betterment of why we did both these movies, that White Tiger is in both movies. Let's just say that.
That's fine.
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, go back to the hovercraft scene. The whole entire time I was like, just cut the hovercraft like the filled up balloons that keep the hovercraft going. And they do not figure that out until 10 minutes after its trail of destruction.
But Jackie Chan, of course, is the one who does figure that out. So that's
pretty
awesome.
Which was a really cool scene. And when he did it, I was like, okay, everything's forgiven. I don't care that they didn't.
Because he grabs the sword
the second after it leaves the water.
And, like, steals this Lamborghini or something and does it in, like, the most
hey, my Lamborghini! Which also goes under the hovercraft and is just stripped of its paint.
Mm-hmm.
But then a person goes under it and it's not to the skeleton.
Yeah, I don't,
which doesn't make sense.
I don't understand.
Maybe it has a gauge on the control panel that says,
yeah, like
not
a,
as bad.
Like a lawnmower height or something like that.
I don't want to kill this guy.
Yeah, there's one, you know, we mentioned the kind of secret Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 lair or whatever that the thugs had and stuff.
The first one.
Okay, excuse me. They have this lair, and then there's a couple.
They lived in the landfill, because that's where Shredder was taken.
Oh, you're right. This is the creation of Super Shredder.
Hobart and Razor, or whatever those guys' names were.
Tonka and Razor. Hobart.
Part hobo, part mutant.
Those guys love donuts.
Yeah, they did. All right, so there's this fight on a pool table that was very reminiscent of the Rush Hour movies later on. Or I guess it's not. Reminiscent is the wrong word since this one came first chronologically. Predated or something.
Predated, yeah, that's a good word.
So
I'm not good with English.
He's like rolling over and like flipping doors into people's heads and like shoving people into refrigerators and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, seeing Rush Hour when that came out, I think we're probably like
that movie.
I think we were probably like what, 15 or something when Rush Hour came out, somewhere in that range. That was like essentially my mainstream introduction to Jackie Chan, you know, as a kid. So I thought that was like the choreography and stuff was more original than it clearly was now, seeing that a movie that came out, 10 years earlier did the same exact thing. But it was still pretty cool. There's also a scene in that same section where Jackie Chan grabs a ski and starts, like, essentially destroying guys, like, hitting them in the face, like, flinging the ski around. It reminded me of Jason Statham in the Transporter movies where he grabs that really long pipe and just takes people down with that thing.
Hose.
Yeah. So, also, you know, we were mentioning, check out The Protector, Ung Bak. Definitely Transporter 1 and 2, I think, are kind of fall right into that same. The third Transporter movie was awful.
Yeah,
don't ever see that. But, this movie, I mean, overall, I'd liked it way better than Super Cop. And yeah, I mean, like, any movie where a truck full of bouncy balls gets shoved off of the top of a roof and just they film that in like one long continuous shot is pretty awesome in my book. So
I like how they actually did that.
Yeah, definitely.
Another thing, you just like, wow, someone actually had to drop a truck of
like
children's toys off of
those
park
production
garage.
Assistants had some fun cleaning up all those balls as they were rolling around everywhere.
Both of these movies are action-packed, so if you're like me and you're just jonesing for an hour and a half of action and just a good time, maybe watch it on a first date or something. I mean, you really make an impression on whoever you're watching it with, because these are legitimately fun. You know, there's no subtext or any type of message. Well, there might be a message as far as don't
just
do drugs or
something. Yeah, it's very clean.
But yeah, it's like, you know, it's like a movie that kids would watch, that kids are okay with watching. You know, there's not a lot of language. There's a little language, but it's not like peppered with language.
Yeah.
You know, there's no nudity. There's no, like,
I think fun, like
yeah,
you said,
fun
is
movies.
Just, yeah. Just watching people on a level of being impressed, like with somebody physically able to pull off the stuff that they do as far as choreography and stuff in these movies is really great.
If you're like pissed off about all the CG that's in movies now, like nothing's real anymore, go watch these movies, because Jackie Chan puts his body and his other people's lives on the line to achieve these
just
like
for
fantastic stunts and these moves, and you just see martial arts. You know, like I said, with one Van Damme movie, The Quest, where martial arts was on display, these are both movies where you'll see, like, stylized, choreographed, well-choreographed martial arts, and just, you know, you're just kind of in awe of the flow and the usage of karate and kung fu and whatever type of martial arts I'm getting wrong.
Definitely. And I think Jackie Chan actually was, like, the stunt choreographer Rumble in the Bronx.
He was in Rumble in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think he was in Super Cop, but I'm sure he had some say in what was going on.
Yeah.
Rumble in the Bronx was 96, and Super Cop, I think, was
93
or
something like that.
So I don't know if he had achieved, like, executive producer, executive choreographer status yet.
Right.
But I guess he eventually did.
Nice.
Overall, though, how would you guys stack Rumble in the Bronx up with the Chris Tucker.
Oh, Rush Hour?
The Rush Hour series. You know, comedy, action, but did you enjoy this more than Rush Hour?
Rush Hour is kind of like an Americanization of the movies that Jackie Chan made in Asia, because, you know, Americans, you can't really... Well, I guess they did release Rumble in the Bronx
wasn't a comedy.
It kind of was. Really? Like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of lightheartedness. There's a lot of humor here and there.
It wasn't like he was an anti-hero. He was just bumming around, like, depressed the whole time.
It's not serious.
He's funny, and, like, his interaction with characters and stuff was funny. But I think the Rush Hour series was, like, an American introduction to these kinds of movies where you can have stylized martial arts and ridiculous storylines, but Chris Tucker's in it.
Yeah, it's just a little bit more... English. It's a more, like, dumbed-down American style of comedy in the Rush Hour movies, and this is, like, more kind of physical, almost like slapstick.
Rush Hour 1 and 2 were okay. I've never seen Rush Hour 3.
Yeah, I haven't either.
It's the same fun kind of experience that you get, although these movies were made in Asia, and Rush Hour was made in the U.S.
Yeah.
Or America, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you like the Rush Hour movies, I would say check these out, if you haven't seen them, because it's kind of along the same lines. It's probably a little bit more heavy into the martial arts as opposed to the explosions and stuff, even though both these movies, Supercop and Rumble in the Bronx, really kind of ramp it up as the movies go on. But yeah, I would definitely say check them out.
What does Jackie Chan do nowadays? I know he's made a couple flops that didn't really pan out.
He had the one, I think it's called The Forbidden Kingdom with Jet Li recently, like within the past, I don't know, two years or something.
I was going to watch that one.
I didn't see it.
Expendables.
Jet Li was in the Expendables.
By chance.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe like the tuxedo and the babysitting movie that didn't really pan out for him. I think I saw
The Pacifier with Vin Diesel.
No, that's wrong. It was
action stars doing babysitting movies
or something like along those lines.
He was in that with Owen Wilson, right? Or was that Eddie Murphy or something? That wasn't Jackie Chan. I don't know.
No, there was the one where he was like the spy that lived next door. I think that was what it was called.
It might have even been called The Spy Next Door. Yes, it was. I didn't see those. I haven't seen a Jackie Chan movie since Rush Hour 2, I think.
Yeah, I saw like an article or an interview with Jackie Chan, and he doesn't get like American humor, but he does it anyway. So these people write these scripts that are, you know, people would say awful, you know, with terrible jokes and like poopy humor and, you know, pee-pee. Ha-ha, funny. And, like, Jackie Chan doesn't get it, but he just assumes that that's what American scripts are, and so he does these movies, but he's just like, I don't get American humor. He needs, like, a good agent that says, Jackie Chan, you make fantastic martial arts movies, you should be doing fantastic American films, or he should go back to Hong Kong or China and start making like movies or doing the choreography for movies like Tony Jaa or something, because that would be really badass.
In all fairness, that's probably how Easterners view our movies. They probably think everything is like the Rocky movies.
Well, that's what I'm saying, like Jackie Chan doesn't get our type of humor, but he does it because he thinks that's what we think is funny.
It's lost in translation.
I think you're right. I think there needs to be some sort of middle ground there.
Jackie Chan's listening to our podcast. I know you make more money here, but seriously, you'll make better movies if you do these action movies that you used to do, because I think people, especially like this
terrible Brett Ratner movies.
Don't do those. Now that we're in this new decade, we'll leave the Rush Hour movies and
Rush Hour made a lot of money though.
Tuxedo and The Spy Next Door.
It doesn't have to be good. I think the franchise made $1 billion combined.
But
it's own country.
We're hoping for good movies, basically.
We're looking out for Jackie Chan's welfare.
He's looking to make money.
He's not even that old. He could probably be in a couple more action movies, The Forbidden Kingdom, which I haven't seen.
Passed down the torch to Tony Jaa because he's done making movies like these.
Those movies over there, but now he's here.
But I think he wants to try to do like real dramatic roles. I feel like I read an interview with him recently. I don't know, maybe not recently, maybe within the past year or two, saying that that he wants to try to like really get into drama, because he's always been a fan of like Charlie Chaplin and like those guys that are, you know, kind of more like slapstick humor and stuff. Like you can see in Rumble in the Bronx and stuff, where he like gets this really kind of rubber face, almost Jim Carrey thing going on, where he's like, he kind of oversells his falls and stuff. Like, he's, like, overacting a little bit. But you can tell he's having a lot of fun with that. So I think he maybe wants to just move into a new phase of in his career where he tries to get taken seriously as an actor as opposed to just doing this stuff.
Yeah,
because he's probably, like, 55 years old or something at this point.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think he might be in his 40s.
Okay.
I don't know how old he
is. That's the hard way out. You got to go easy, man. You got to call up L.A., get down on the Parcheesi set that they're going to make, and be one of the characters in that movie.
He'll
and
just
make,
be a board game
and make $100 million.
You've got to pass the red piece.
He did the Around the World in 80 Days. You remember? That was something that he did recently.
That was
Schwarzenegger's
last movie before he became governor.
Right.
Too.
So, you know, I think
he'd be more respected maybe not in an acting role, but maybe in a choreography role where...
Or even directing or something,
maybe. You could train, I don't know, let's just say Van Damme in a movie, although Van Damme's probably got his own style now.
Yeah.
But we could train, like, Statham, Ja, Lee,
Van Damme is
Stallone
older than Jackie Chan.
With Jackie Chan choreography, I think would be pretty sweet.
That would be cool.
Expendables 2, pick up Jackie Chan.
Yeah,
there
pretty
you
much.
Go. There you go. All right, well,
great
Tyler,
discussion, guys.
Yeah, well, we've...
C+.
You actually have... brought the Apple II with you. It's here in our presence right now. So you want
I carry it with me.
You want to pull
on average.
I blew out my back lugging that thing up here.
I made Joe carry it for some reason.
That's the price you pay for being a guest on this podcast.
We got CPU with the floppy disk. We got the screen. There's no mouse, just keyboard.
Yeah, but have you dealt with an 80s Macintosh piece of equipment? They're terribly designed.
Yeah, Tyler lent me the Apple II at one point. But,
yeah, you have to carry around the desk, the rolly desk that it sits on, too. You can't just set that thing up on anything.
Yeah. All right, well, go ahead and pull the lever and let us know what we're
going to watch. Oh, yeah, sure. The massively... comically as large as the Miller High Life bottle that Joe's sporting. But, yeah, I'll pull it right now. The Apple II is working just as well as it does in my other location.
Yep.
And it's bringing... Let me see the ticker tape here. Oh, The Hit, starring John Hurt, Tim Roth from Lie to Me, which I haven't seen in like 18 episodes.
And Pulp Fiction.
And Terrence Stamp.
And Terrence Stamp, who played General Zod in Superman 2.
Nice.
That was enough to get me...
Yeah.
Get me gunning for this movie. I have no idea what the movie's about.
Yeah, I don't really know either. It's from 1984, yeah.
Yeah.
I assume there's going to be a hit involved.
I would
Joe, are you going to watch this one? Are you going to join us, or are you just going to
Is it about gangster mobs, or what?
I know the last two movies, Supercop and Rumble in the Bronx were, though.
Because I like mafioso-type movies.
Maybe it's like that. I don't know. We'll have to find out. So if you guys want to watch The Hit, check it out on Netflix Watch Instantly. Email us. Let us know what you think of the film. You can always email us at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com. You can call us and leave a voicemail at 904-469-6566.
JNM.
Yeah, let us know what you think
How cool is that?
The show.
Ben had to pay $4,000 to get that phone number.
It is kind of cool. 469-NJNM, not just new movies. All right, so you can subscribe for free in iTunes and leave us a review. That would be awesome. I think we have 2 reviews right now.
Really?
So, yeah.
We have 2 now?
Yeah, we're excited about the 2.
We've doubled 100%.
So you guys can check us out on Facebook as well. Just type in Not Just New Movies Podcast. And Twitter, twitter.com/NJNM podcast. We do have a couple new followers, so we'll go ahead and read those names now. At CZAPLE.
Czapple.
So, yeah, Czapple. So thanks for the follow there.
Thanks, bro.
Also,
ooh,
one
moneymaker.
At
Moneymaker. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Spam.
Moneymaker 00, which may or may not be spam.
Her name's Ella, though. That's a pretty hot name. All right,
well, you can't say what her name is, but all right. And then the other one is at Rob Sprantz.
That is his name.
Rob Sprantz.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Rob, for the follow. We appreciate it. All right, so yeah, we actually don't have any emails or voicemails.
Yeah, send some emails,
well,
people.
I figured that would be the case, considering it's getting close to the holidays. So
No excuse.
Whatever. All right.
The best way, though, to view the podcast is to go to notjustnewmovies.com. Join iTunes, but listen to it streaming. That way, while you're listening to it, you can view the other movie reviews
and stuff.
I still can't find you guys on iTunes.
Really? You just go up into you go to the iTunes store.
It is really hard to find.
Yeah,
you go to the iTunes. Okay,
play
if you guys,
by play, John Madden.
I probably should have done this a long time ago. I didn't realize, so forgive me. Here we go. Open up iTunes, go to the iTunes store. Up in the top right, there's a search bar. Just type in the Not Just New Movies podcast.
Try that, didn't work.
It doesn't come up.
It doesn't
do.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
What you do is you go to the side, and it'll give a podcast suggestions. It'll have, like, it'll say no results brought up, mm-hmm. but you go down and it'll have a podcast section, and it'll probably bring us up. But so, no. I've typed us in before, and it brought up, like, Hannah Montana stuff.
No, listen, here's what happens. When you type in the Not Just New Movies podcast up in the top search bar which in the do. iTunes store, it brings up a bunch of different things. There's a window up in the top of the page, and it brings up, like, four or five different podcasts. We're the first one right there. So then you click on our actual site, and then it lists all of our episodes
yeah,
and stuff
what
like
I've
that.
Done. What
can
I've,
you present this in PowerPoint? Because this
what
is
I've done,
kind of hard.
Look, I'm going to do it right now.
What I've done is, if you go to our Facebook fan page, mm-hmm. I've actually included the link to the iTunes page in our info section.
That's
so
awesome.
Go to Facebook, type us in the search bar, it'll bring us up, fan us, and then
like
you can go
or
like us, and then you could join the iTunes craze, which I think we have 5,000 to 6,000 iTunes subscriptions. Correct me if I'm wrong. Correct me. and you can go to that site and, you know, automatically get us in your iTunes
feed
update
or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
Okay, so I'm doing this right now. See, look, I just typed in the Not Just New Movies podcast, and it's right there, the first thing that pops up. So
also,
you just have to click on the actual link, and then it'll bring up everything
else. I would
else,
suggest
so.
Downloading the explicit tagged ones immediately, because those are the best, because I get to say...
Yeah, all right. No,
if I had said the word, we would have had to tag it
explicit.
Yeah,
we would have had to make this
that
one explicit.
That is the line that we can cross.
Okay.
I always try to search, and I get these... Action Jackson, Lights Camera Jackson posts.
Inception is crazy.
All right, well,
now you need a good night's sleep
really,
before seeing that
know,
movie.
Since you fired Pat, I think this will the ratings will go up.
That's...
Does Pat get an unemployment check at all from us? Because we don't get checks from the endorsements we give. So I don't know how he's gonna travel from job to job now.
We have not fired
Pat. I think Pat was working with Blockbuster, and since we sponsor Netflix all the time, there's a conflict.
No, Pat should be back sometime soon. No, we do not get paid for this show.
How come Pat's employed and I'm not?
All right.
I need to file this on my taxes.
Let's go ahead and finish the character name game. Let's finish the character name game. So the name in the very beginning was Kevin Raleigh. So can you guys think of where Kevin Raleigh, what film that might be from? You also need to keep in mind that the character has to be in some way related to a movie that was released this previous Friday. Not today, because...
Durkistan, Justin Timberlake and Yogi Bear, so I'm thinking Alpha Dog. Boosh.
No, but I like where your head's at.
The guy from Ed was actually in Yogi Bear, and he appeared on Scrubs with Zach Braff, and Zach Braff was in that movie with Natalie Portman called...
Garden State.
Oh, yeah, is it Garden State?
No, it's not, and I'm not going nearly that far as the
That's
connections.
Like all right,
I always go
Aykroyd,
one step.
As Yogi Bear, Dan Aykroyd was also in Dan in Real Life, Steve Carell, The Office, with Marcy X.
No, I don't know what any of that meant. From your first step, Dan Aykroyd was not in Dan in Real Life. Okay, I'll give you a hint. This movie now has three films in the franchise. Yes. Or the movie that the franchise that this character is from now has three films. And the third one very recently came out, I think this month even.
Okay, I know the answer to that, but I'm going to comedically guess another one.
Why are you
gonna
wasting
I'm
going to
go Meet
time.
The Fockers.
Meet the Fockers technically is correct. That's
okay,
one of
okay.
them.
Okay, Meet the Parents.
Yes, there we go. Well, I mean, you got it right. Because,
is that the Stoner brother?
Kevin Raleigh is the character played by Owen Wilson.
Oh, who was in Little Fockers.
Right, that was earlier this month. But the one that
Ben
he's
Stiller,
in...
No. Who was also in Starsky and Hutch with Owen Wilson, who was in Meet the Parents. Nice job, Ben.
No.
Owen Wilson was in Meet the Parents?
Yeah, he was the ex-boyfriend, right?
Yeah,
okay.
He was trying to win. I don't know. I've never seen any
That's
of
way
movies.
Too obscure.
Anyway.
Ironically enough, he was in Shanghai Noon with
Jackie Chan.
My $1 million just dropped. This is ridiculous.
All right.
This is out of bounds, man.
The actual connection was Owen Wilson is in that movie called How Do You Know that just opened last Friday.
It cost
$127
million. Right. $100 million to make. Yeah.
So,
you know
more than Tron.
Wow, I don't know about that. Tron. But let's go ahead and just tell everybody where people can find more of our work on the internet. Joe, we'll start with you.
Theplayingfield.blogspot.com
and what it's called.
You're right. That's not what it's called at all.
Get it right, your own
blog.
Joe's Rant and Rave.blogspot.com and Redbook.com.
Is that a women's
magazine? DataCougar.com. You can also find his profile on there.
DataCougar.
All right, Tyler, how about you?
You can also find my work on Destigen.blogspot.com, TheSolarSentinel.blogspot.com. I appeared briefly on the 100th podcast episode of Geek Tyrant on GeekTyrant.com, where I also author. And, yeah, that's it.
Okay, right on. You guys can track me down on Twitter, twitter.com/BenPears, geektyrant.com, writing reviews at filmonic.com, and notjustnewmovies.com, which is the namesake for this podcast. You can also track me and Pat mostly down on the Geek Tyrant Weekly podcast. Music for our show is provided by George Turner and the Bandits. You can track down their music at gtbandits.com. And also on Twitter and Facebook, so check them out there. I believe this week we're going to end with a comical version of Kung Fu Fighting, which may or may not be disco-related. I'm not entirely sure.
It's from Morph from Power Rangers, the movie soundtrack.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, so enjoy that. And if you guys want to, check out The Hit on Netflix Watch Instant.
Do it.
And,
it's going to be a hit.
And check us back next week.
I know you're lying.
So, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
And happy birthday to our own Tyler Brands, who shares a birthday with Jesus Christ. December 25th. So, thanks guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.